League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station, ESPN, 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back for the final hour of day one of the five-day weekly extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects. The eclipse came and went.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll watch it on the news.
Keith had a question on text.
Okay.
About automating the strike zone and stuff. He said, who are the players going to blame for their bad play when balls and strikes are automated? No, that's just the point. You not only are you saving, you know, the integrity of the game by calling the strike zone as is, you speed it up a little bit because there's no arguing. No one from the dugout. No one's going to get thrown out of a game for arguing balls and strikes because you know what? It's all automated. You know, no one argues when replay happens and they get replay right 95, 97, 99% of the time. Rarely do you see a blown call once they review it. It happens. Don't get me wrong. But it's rare. And so, I mean, it happened the other night with the Astros game when they won by getting the out, a double play at the end of the game. Was it Saturday night or Friday night? I don't remember which. But they got a double play. Umpire had called one of the Athletics safe.
Safe, right.
And then they reviewed it, and he was out by a quarter of a step. But he was out, and so it got it right. And that's the thing. When this is automated, there's very little arguing that takes place. And you still need a home plate umpire, so it's not like that job goes away. They still need to call plays at the plate and foul balls and the other things that go on and, you know, getting the balls from the ball boy and all that stuff. All that still is in play. It's just that the strike zone is automated. That's it. So...
And you and I talked about it, and we're not, I mean, look, you guys already give me a crap for not being technologically advanced.
Well.
But.
You don't feel like you deserve that?
I mean, you're the geek squad.
I mean.
The two of us together have talked about it. If there was some way to put it within the mask of the umpire or some way so that they could do it quickly so that not to elongate the game.
Well, I've said, like, you know how they have the little clicker in their
clicker,
hand?
The ball.
Just make that Bluetooth. And then it just lights up, or it shows it has a little display on it. One strike, you know, no balls, two ball, and then they can just read that and show
that
the sign
on every.
But I'm
every
saying
call.
That's how you would do it. You would see it pop up, and you would still make the call, strike or ball, but it would all be automated into that clicker or whatever.
I think
it would be easy.
I would say, and my idea was something like right on the mask within, you know, side eye view with a bright green or red light. And very quickly, you could get, you know, without even having to look at the clicker or anything else, have an indication, like you said, with Bluetooth technology or everything like that, to just say, hey, that was a strike, that was a ball, and let's keep rolling.
409 said, but don't you remove the human element to the game? I don't care about that. I want it right. Rules are rules. We had Faye Vincent on here who said sometimes umpires have told him, well, you know, if I call the low strike, I'm going to get a lot of grief. Who cares? It's the rule. It's the rule book. It's like the basketball referees that don't call travel or carrying or all that. I want it called by the rules. I don't care that one umpire has a high strike zone, the other one has a low strike zone. Someone's going to give the pitcher the outside. Someone's going to give him the inside. The strike zone is there for a reason, and it should be called as is, not umpire's discretion. And the human element still exists with other things. But if you wanted the human element, replay would never exist. Humans make mistakes. We're flawed people, and our eyes sometimes deceive us. If you had the human element, the Astros might have lost that game the other night when they turned a double play, but the umpire, whose human element was there, called it wrong. Look, so I don't care. I want it done.
We talked about
right.
this last week, but the bottom line is, do you really want the asterisk on a World Series because your umpire got a call wrong at first base and it changed the outcome of the biggest series of the year and declaring a champion in your league for an entire season? Well, look at the Royals Cardinals series. One bad call at first base cost them the series.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Just the main purpose that we keep saying over and over again is just get the call right. That should be the main objective.
That's all I want.
By whatever means necessary. And obviously you don't want to make the game take any longer or elongate the game. But if there are ways that you can actually do this quickly, when you start factoring in all the complaining and the back and forth on a bad call and everything like that, if you can make it quick and you can get the call right, then you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
From a management position, like a commissioner or otherwise,
yep.
You're doing what your job is to do.
Yep. And we started this conversation talking technology. And I was going to make a point because you said that you catch a lot of grief from us.
Yes. What's wrong with that?
And I said rightfully so. Because there's still only one person that hasn't joined either fantasy football league.
I joined both of them.
No, you haven't.
I even got emails that said that.
As the commissioner, I am staring at the league.
Screw your league, then. I did what I was supposed to do, and if that's the way they're going to be temperamentally, then screw your league.
You are not in either of the leagues still. And we have set the drafts, by the way, for both leagues. So if you are in the league, like I changed my names. Like in one league, I'm the Pea Shivers. And in the other league, I'm the Lettuce Hoarders. So
you wrecked me.
Yeah,
no,
wrecked
you didn't, because I didn't do it.
What?
I didn't do anything wrong. I signed up. I logged into ESPN. I accepted both leagues.
I didn't. No, he's having a conversation with himself. You wrecked me. No, you didn't. Yeah, well, I signed. Shut up. What? You're like talking to yourself. We'll figure it out. I'll help you get logged in. But just so you know, listeners, the leagues are set. We have all 12 teams in both leagues, and the draft days are set for each league. So if you are in a league, go check it out and find out when your draft day is.
If I'm in a league, screw it. Just let it ride. That's what I'm doing.
When did we set the drafts? We said September 6th. August 29th is the first one, and then September 3rd. That's Sunday. So August 29th is the first draft for us. September 3rd is the second draft for us. So be prepared.
You guys, good luck with that.
Joel, you know he's going to auto-draft.
Joel's taking his ball and
home. Oh, no, I don't want 10 kickers.
He's just... Okay. Oh, auto-draft is the worst. If you're the auto-draft guy...
And you can tell. In any draft, you can tell who the idiot is who's auto-draft.
I'm in a league. Do you know who Andrew Craig is from the UFC?
Yeah.
I'm in a league with him. He is Mr. Auto-draft guy.
Is it really?
AJ and I and him and a few other guys are in this league, and Andrew Craig auto drafts every year and then wins, and it pisses everyone off.
That's what happened to me last year. I auto drafted last year and I won in one of my leagues.
I hate you.
Yeah.
If you auto draft, you should be automatically not allowed to win the league. It doesn't matter.
Did you manage your team at all then during the year?
I did. I managed it the whole year. I just didn't. I couldn't make it for the draft because it was like a last minute emergency deal. But yeah. Yeah.
You buying that?
Sounds a bit fishy.
Hey, when we come back, Nick, you play Madden, right?
Yep.
Joel, you don't. Do you even have like an Xbox or a PlayStation or anything?
No.
You don't even have a video game
console? I used to love playing video games when I was a kid, but
not a fan of it?
For whatever reason. I actually thought about it a couple times because based on the graphics that I've seen and the way...
I'm really surprised you don't play NBA 2K Live or whatever.
No, I watch old tapes in my basement. That does the same thing.
With your pants off?
Well, whether they're on or off is for me to know and you to find out.
I think
out.
You would
I'm
love...
Comfortable.
I think you... You know what? If I will bring my PlayStation in and let you borrow it, and you could play NBA 2K and see if you like it.
Okay.
Would you want to do that? Would you try it
if I did that?
Okay. Maybe I'll do that. I'll bring you my PlayStation and let you go home and borrow it for a week and play NBA. But, I mean, you got to go get the game. I'm not giving you the game. I don't have it.
Well, I'll just go see Michelle like you do.
Well, just rent it from, like, Redbox or whatever. Can't you rent games from Redbox, Nick?
You can, but a lot of times they're, like, out.
Scratched.
That's too much work.
Oh, hell.
Well, Barry, get the game for me.
All right, well, coming up, we'll talk Madden 18 because there's some new stuff in Madden 18. I wanted to get your thoughts on it, Nick.
There you go. Nick's going to auto-draft his Madden 18, too. Right now, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. If you're looking for a locally... owned and operated company in the Houston area for all your energy needs that is not going to try and screw you over or pull the wool over your eyes to make a buck. They're going to let you know what your rate is at all times. They're going to remind you when your contract's set to expire so that you don't get hit with a massive rate when you weren't expecting it because your contract ran out. It's Infuse Energy. Take my word for it. InfuseEnergy.com. 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. Not only if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and that helps. But look, I'm telling you, I am with Infuse Energy, and I cannot begin to explain to you how great it has been. They have lowered my energy bills significantly right from the first week I signed up with them, and they have been communicative throughout the process. Right from the get-go, you don't get an automated system. You get a human being that is focused on getting you the right plan for your needs, whether it be for business or for personal usage. They have 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with a renewable energy credits. That helps to decrease your carbon footprint, and they always have your back. They're affordable, they're hassle-free, and they're going to make sure that they infuse energy into your life by doing it your way with a plan that makes sense. I know it's a crazy, crazy concept with all these bigger energy companies these days trying to just make sure they get you to sign on the dotted line and then they forget you like you were just anybody off the street. That's never going to be the case for Josh Pestikoff and Infuse Energy. So I'm telling you, give them a call, go online, check them out. Do your homework, and you'll find out Infuse Energy is a great place to get your energy. InfuseEnergy.com or 844-463-8732. I'm telling you, it affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, Infuse Energy.
And all the exciting things that's happened, those of you all that live here, you know they just legalized marijuana. Are y'all crazy? 2 ounces? But you can see, those of you just come in for this, you can see there's things happening now in Washington because of the new law of legalizing marijuana. Congress is coming back next week and they're going to get involved with the marijuana thing. They talk about doing a joint session.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects with a soundbite from a legend. Dick Gregory passed away this weekend. Rest in peace to a guy that, like I said, he was a comedian, and Barry can speak on that, but we both have spoken on this show about the fact that he was far more than that. He was a guy that was such a trendsetter in so many ways and was so deeply involved in politics and doing the right things for the right reasons throughout his career, but he passed away. Ironically, he was at the station, 6 months ago?
Yeah, it was about that.
Yeah.
Which was so cool to be able to meet him.
Yeah.
And get a chance to meet him. And then, because, yeah, guy, I mean, when being a comic, you hear about guys like this, but you never expect to run into them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Getting to meet a Pryor, which, by the way, there is no Pryor without Dick Gregory.
Yep.
Right. You know, but getting to meet guys like that, or getting to meet a Carlin or any of those guys is just, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm walking out, I'm leaving.
We all were together.
Yeah, we were leaving after a show one day, and I look on the couch, and you guys—we were all headed to the elevator. You guys know I stopped, and I was like, "Wait a minute, I think that's Dick Gregory."
I didn't know who he was when you initially pointed him out. I'm like, "Really? Who's that?" And you're like, "Oh, he's a stand-up comedian, dude. Like, he's known."
He's
and
a
so
legend.
I went in there and got to meet him, and of course, he did tell me I had a beautiful face. So
he's a good liar.
So
being nice to
so his vision it was failing obviously in his old age, but that was a once in a lifetime opportunity, and he was a once in a lifetime comic, and not just the fact that he was a comic, but it's strange that in this day and time that we're going through some of this social unrest with the racial tension that we have in this country that still exists even after everything that he went through. I mean, there was and I was looking at his wiki to see, because you forget all the things that this dude did. But there was this one thing they were talking about, and he worked like largely white audiences. He was one of the first comics to really be accepted, but he would do stuff that at the time was considered edgy. Like, he started off, he said, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I understand there are a good many Southerners in the room tonight. I know the South very well. I spent 20 years there one night." Great joke. But that's back in the day, I'm sure that was considered like edgy. You know what I mean? To say sure. those things. So, yeah, Dick Gregory, man, and we'd be remiss also this weekend.
Well, I was going to say, and the transition then would be to another comedy legend. But again, Jerry Lewis passed away, and everybody knew him maybe more so for the MDA telethon than they did
Jerry's Kids.
Yeah, and with Jerry's Kids than for his comedy work. But the thing that kind of irked me a little bit that I was talking to Lisa about over the course of the weekend was the fact that Dick Gregory wasn't getting the same kind of run and love that Jerry Lewis was this weekend, when Dick Gregory was so meaningful in so many ways, and not just from a comedic aspect, but you and I even talk about it before we transition to Jerry Lewis. One of the things on the History of Comedy series that was on CNN was the fact that he turned down an invitation to be on The Tonight Show because he wasn't going to be allowed to sit on the couch.
He was black. They wouldn't let him sit on the couch.
And he said, "You let me sit on the couch and I'll do your show."
And so they did.
He got it done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, both of them made significant impacts to our country and our society for very different reasons. In fact, I'm in that group chat with Alyssa Milano. Oops,
oh, are you?
Did I drop that?
Let me get that. Let me get that. Hold on a second.
Is the one that created that chat and added me to it, because obviously he recognizes my star power as equivalent to himself and Alyssa Milano. But on Twitter, Mr. Wallace tweeted something out that said that it's a picture of him and Jerry Lewis. And I didn't know this, and I don't know this to be true, but it says raised $2.6 billion to fight muscular dystrophy. If that's true, which, again, I don't know, but I don't know why George Wallace would just make up a number.
I think that's pretty close to being accurate.
But I'm on his wiki. I'm on Jerry Lewis's wiki page, and sure enough, over nearly half a century, he raised over $2.6 billion in donations for the cause. That is outstanding. When you look back on your life and you're like, "Well, what did I do?" I guarantee you didn't raise $2.6 billion to help other people. That is like,
it's one thing to say you remember the Rat Pack with Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis and all these different things, but that doesn't even come close to raising that amount of money for people with muscular dystrophy. Unbelievable. I don't know if you guys ever did it, but when we were kids, man, it was like religiously every year we would go out and we would knock on doors. We would collect. We looked forward to going.
Really?
We would go to the telethon. Our local TV station was the fishbowl where you could dump off and unload all the money to help MDA. And we looked forward to it as kids every year. And it was something that we did. And then we watched the telethon.
I remember watching the telethon like once or twice. It wasn't like I didn't sit down every year and watch it, but I remember seeing it a couple of times and being interested in it and some of the funny stuff that took place. But yeah, you know, him and Dean Martin were a great crew, Martin and Lewis comedy team, and there was the Martin and Lewis show on NBC and Toast of the Town. And he did a lot of great things in comedy. He was never like, I appreciate what he did for comedy and his comedic stylings, but you also have to look at it and understand for what he did, you're only as good as your straight man, and Dean Martin set him up beautifully. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But Jerry Lewis stood on his own. He didn't need Dean Martin to be funny and be considered
funny.
Was
Jerry Lewis known more for his stand-up or for his comedic acting?
I would say his comedic acting.
That's what I thought.
You know what I mean? Like, he was funny, but I would say he was more of a more of a character than just a straight stand-up comedian. Like, Dick Gregory was a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And Jerry Lewis was, but he was more of a comedic actor as well. So,
well, I mean, you could feel the weight that Dick Gregory carried in any room that he walked into. Without question.
Yeah, even here, I was so intimidated just to walk up to him and introduce myself.
He still had security
guys,
did he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it's intimidating when you meet a star at that level. Like, I don't think people will ever really understand how big of a star Dick Gregory was.
For sure. All right, so rest in peace to both Dick Gregory and Jerry Lewis. We'll be back with a whole lot more, but right now I want to tell you guys about the good people over at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mack and his staff have been doing it in the Houston area for over 36 years. years, and they are going strong. They now have three locations across H-Town to make sure that they better service your needs. That's the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. That's the Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak, and it's the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max sits at the front desk, and he makes sure that his staff takes great care of you before, during, and after the sale. They got a great feature going on right now with the Astros and their pennant race. If the Astros win it all at the end of the year against the team from the other league, you get it all. If you spend $3,000 or more on bedroom furniture, would it be an adjustable base, a Tempur-Pedic, or a Macapedic sleep set? Galleryfurniture.com has all the details, but it's another great promotion with a gambling chance for you to possibly get your furniture for free. So check that out. But also, make sure you get to one of the showrooms because they take great care of you. There's food, there's stuff for the kiddos to do, and then there's quality solid wood, American-made living room and dining room furniture, and furniture for every room in your house. And they make sure that they take care of you by identifying your budget, your needs, and what furniture they have that can fulfill all of the desires that you have for quality furniture in your house. Gallery Furniture, three locations. What Max says is true. It's not just a marketing slogan. It's a way of life. You buy today, you get it tonight, and Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects back with a half hour to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz at 4. You guys can rest assured the starter has just been named, so we don't have a quarterback controversy anymore in Denver.
And?
Simeon is the starter.
Okay.
In Denver, so we know that now, as Paxton Lynch did not live up to the hype.
I was going to say, you think that lasts?
For this year, I do.
Okay.
I think Paxton Lynch had some bright spots. I think he can play. Because, look, I heard the guys on the way in talking about Jared Goff and the fact that a lot of people gave up on him after 1 year. Now, I don't think that he is going to be, like, one of the legendary great quarterbacks of all time, but it's pretty quick to basically close the book on a guy after a year with a really bad team. I think, sure.
But if you see, if you don't see any signs in practice or...
Yeah, tendencies and...
Then you're like, well, there's some things you can coach, some things you can't. If he's a bad decision maker...
Yeah, and I'd be interested in how much of that critique was by anybody that, like you said, inside the organization. I know outside the organization, a lot of people were already ready to kind of, you know, push him aside and go, yeah, he's a bust. But he, for all indications were that he looked good the other night for the Rams, so that for them, that's encouraging. But I think when you upgrade the talent, that has to help too, because they were a trash team. You know, they get a new coach, they get some new, they infuse some new players into the system. You know, Sammy Watkins alone is a go-to receiver. Tavon Austin was a guy that they thought might turn into that guy, but he's more of a glorified slot guy and a return guy. But they're trying to do some things that might help him a little bit more, but he's looked better. But the Broncos named Simeon the quarterback already, so they've already solved their quarterback issue, so there won't be a controversy.
Biggest thing I think that's going to help the Rams is adding Wade Phillips. Everywhere he goes,
defensively,
first
right.
year or two.
Well, and the other big thing is getting Aaron Donald back into camp and or on the field, because their defense is not a problem. When you give Wade Phillips that many pieces to work with, he can do some things. Now, offensively, Gurley looked great as a rookie till he got hurt, down year last year. But again, when your quarterback doesn't play well and you don't have to worry about the passing game, you load up the box and you stop Todd Gurley. But he can play.
Yeah. Somebody texted and says, so I saw the news this morning on Channel 11, and they compared D. Watson and Deontay Foreman to Dak and Zeke. Now, that's just ridiculous, right?
Who said that? If it was my wife, she'd catch heat. Channel 11. She doesn't make statements like that.
He said Channel 11, whatever the texter said, Channel 11 was comparing that. I can see why you're making the comparison. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. And I think that the Texans are hoping that they found that version.
Sure.
That they found their Dak and Zeke. Sure. Like, I could see, but I'm not. Deshaun Watson hasn't played a down in the NFL in a regular season game yet, much less a full season.
I was getting into an argument with my friend Jared about that. He was texting me that exact same thing. He was saying this year's Texans is going to be last year's Cowboys, and we had a little back and forth. And I was like, come on, bro. You don't know that yet.
I can, but I get why people are trying to draw those comparisons. Now that the Cowboy season is in the rearview mirror, You see what two rookies did, and so you've got a rookie quarterback, you got a rookie running back. The big difference is, I don't know if you texted your friend this, but the big difference is the O line.
Yeah.
Huge sure, difference.
Best offensive line in football. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. It's just, it's the new kind of, the new fad is the blueprint's been laid. Now, instead of always saying, well, with a rookie quarterback, you got to take your lumps and he might even have to sit out a year or two to do it the right way, you know, and now you don't. And you don't have to draft him in the first, you know, everybody said, well, if you're not, like even Tom Savage, well, he wasn't a top-tier quarterback. He wasn't drafted in the first two rounds. So that means maybe the people that were analyzing him didn't think he's ever going to be a starter. You know, but now you've got Dak, who was, what, fourth round? Third round? But, you know, you've got the blueprint is there to follow, to say, hey, if the Cowboys can do it, you know, other teams can do it too. If you draft right, if you analyze talent right, it's possible. But, you know, like Barry, you said, Watson hasn't even, you know, he hasn't even seen the field yet. Dak put together one hell of a year. Zeke's one heck of a running back.
Yeah.
I like the depth that they have at running back, but let's be honest. They spent a whole lot of money on Lamar Miller for a reason. So he's not going to be...
To the point where he was limping.
Yeah, they overused him last year.
They still put him back in the play after play where he's like clearly limping pretty hard on his ankle.
And you can also tell that Blue is running for his job in this preseason.
Looked pretty good.
But, yeah, well, I mean, this is do or die for him, I do believe.
Yeah.
Once they went out and got Deontay Foreman and said, all right, this, you know, there's competition now for the backup job. And I think Foreman actually gives you some competition for the starter. For the starting position.
I agree. And I think that we mentioned Tyler Irvin. Tyler Irvin, because of the fact that he's played receiver in college, because he can play the slot, they can move him around, he can be a weapon in the passing game, he may more likely take a spot from a receiver to add depth, and they can still keep Foreman, Blue, and Miller to have depth at the running back. But yeah, look, it's a good position to be in, but I don't think they're just because you're in a good position to add depth and there are guys for the future, I don't think that it's fair to compare to the Cowboys.
Guys. Jason Hebert said, not a fair comparison. Foreman was found innocent. Oh, wait, you meant on the field. Oops, my bad.
Jeez.
Frank, we were talking PlayStation earlier. Frank said, no wonder y'all's sex life is so low. You're playing video games. That was Frank at 55, Mr. Three Times a Week.
Preach, Frank. But you
No, three times so far this week. Damn, Frank.
Now he's
slow down.
He's giving you data?
Yeah, he's giving me stats. That's kind of weird.
If he starts getting into in-depth stats... That's on you, bro. You enjoy that.
Yeah. This, ugh.
He starts giving you ratios and things.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I said we would talk about it last segment, but we got into the comedy with Dick
Madden
Gregory.
Thing.
Yeah. So Madden 18 is out. And that, Nick, you're going to play this, right? Like, I mean, there's just no doubt you're going to get the new Madden
every year.
Yeah, for sure.
It's out? It's officially out?
No, but it's coming out.
Right.
But so I saw this article where they talked about a new mode. Because, you know, they have, like, Dynasty mode. They have the Madden Ultimate Team. They have franchise mode.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't think there's a lot of changes in those. I think some of the things that I saw was like when you're drafting, like the scouting points and stuff you get, right, have changed a little bit. So there's some nuances to those modes. The one thing that I saw that was kind of interesting is there's a new mode called Long Shot Mode. And Long Shot Mode is basically you're just a dude. You're this high school star who's trying to make the NFL. And you basically, you're playing in the backyard. You end up making it to a combine. I mean, are you going to play something like that? Does that interest you?
For me, no. I'm all about the game. But I can totally see how that addition, like that aspect of the game, could catch people's interest. Because I was reading about it on CBS Sports. It's a pretty good article by Will Brinson, who I've had on the show. Really credible dude. And he was talking about how there's like moral decisions that you have to make and stuff like that. And I think that's cool. Like, I wonder, like, are they getting, like, bribes? Are they meeting with coaches at the draft they're not supposed to?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So that might add, like, an interesting... But for me, I'm all about the game. So I might try it just because it's a new feature.
So do you play, like... Because I'm with you. I just want to sit down and play football. I just want to be whatever teams exist.
Right.
I play as the Texans, but I don't always want to. Because let's
face
it.
You want to play with the good teams. You want to play with the bad teams to see how good you can do with the bad teams.
Yeah.
For me, that's the inexperienced novice in all this. But instead of just sitting down, you know, I'm used to you just turn on the game and you play the game itself. But in reading the article, it could be multi hours as go through this process as the long shot, and you may meet Dan Marino along the way if you play your cards right as you're trying to make this progression to the NFL. Multiple hours doing this instead of playing the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like my favorite back in the day was NCAA football. This was years ago. I'm going to say like 98. Like 2000. 2000. Was he?
I think so.
Yeah. But like that game for me was awesome. Not because, I mean, I played the football, but I really liked the recruiting for some reason. It's like dorky, but I would love the recruiting and doing the as the coach. And you would go out and you would
play. So you're a franchise mode
kind
of guy. Yeah. And most people are. That's traditional.
Because you get to play the game, but then you get to manage the team and do some of the recruiting and all that and the trades. And so I don't know, though. Like, I don't like playing the career mode where, you know, you're like, all right, I'm going to be a running back. And then you get drafted, and then you have to make the team, and you have to go through that doesn't strike me as much fun.
No. For me, it's not only because I'm an online gamer, but I see a lot of people playing. Like, my brother would totally play career mode all day.
Yeah.
Like, he has no problem doing it. I think the other thing is, like, Joel mentioned how this long shot mode could have multiple hours.
Yeah.
They probably are targeting some of the guys that like adventure games, too. So, like, it's got to be that gamer who likes those long form adventure type games, but also like sports games as well. Because I don't see that, like, for me, like the traditional online get straight to the point football guy, like I'm just going to play online.
Do you build like a Madden Ultimate team? Because you can draft a team. Because you know how they'll say, like, with the Ultimate team, you pick a team and you get two cornerstone players from that team. So if you pick the Texans, for example, you get DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt. And then you end up drafting the rest of your squad from players or football cards or something like that. You don't do that either. You just go straight in. And
I don't. That's like my brother would do that. I wouldn't do that.
But you said you do online.
Online for sure.
So you don't play just the CPU?
No, I always play someone else in some other part of the world.
I always play the CPU because I don't want to get my ass whooped by a 12-year-old.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I usually lose more than I win.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that would just make me so mad.
Yeah. I mean, dude, they're good. I'm a poor loser. Hard. It's really hard to play against them. I mean, you'll have like these tutorials on YouTube. This is how you play defense. This is how you play, like, on YouTube, like video game tutorials.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. See? I do know about that because, first of all, the lady used to cut my hair. She and her husband have separate rooms in their house where they both would play online against people till like 5 a.m. Like, it was that addictive for them.
Wow, like Halo, like playing what?
Yeah,
like,
Halo and like
Call of Duty. More, and stuff?
Yeah, I was gonna say Call of Duty and the Army games and stuff like that. But then I remember it was a couple years ago. Demo was telling me that he did it playing FIFA, and that he started talking crap to like a 12, 13-year-old kid. I was like, you held back, right? And he goes, no. And the guy's mom was on the couch. And I said, tell your mom right now. Look over and tell your mom that I'm whooping your ass.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is intense.
That's why I don't play, though, because I can't.
They will get vulgar.
I mean, having a 12-year-old trash talk me and whoop my ass.
Won't the kid be more vulgar?
It would just break my heart. Like,
You wouldn't initiate the talk with you might Barry, but normally you wouldn't initiate the talk with the kid. But will the kid initiate like the vulgar talk?
Oh, 100%, 100%. What I like to do is give the controller to one of my friends who know how to play, but keep the headset so I can do the trash talk. that's the best thing. Find someone who can play.
That's hilarious.
And then trash talk. I'm like, look at me just doing you up in Madden right now.
I think we've played it on this show before when we talk video games, but the scene from The Breakup with Vince Vaughn, when he's like, I can't take credit for these guys. These digital fellas put in all the work. Oh, that's the best. He's like, is your mom listening right now?
Oh, that's a hilarious scene.
Oh, that is one of the best scenes ever. The trash talk that he does, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go look at The Breakup on YouTube. Funny. Look up Vince Vaughn and The Breakup.
Right. That's a good scene.
Video game trash talk. One of the best. But that's also why I don't play. Because I just take him and make that guy, make him 12 years old, and that would just crush my existence. I couldn't do it. I can't. No. No
way.
By
the way, long-term employee, I mean intern Kelly.
Yeah.
He also sent me an IM to Slam Magazine, picked up his and gave him credit for his tweet. So he's working hard. And Nick, let's not let you slide through the cracks, too. This is the same kind of stuff that was happening to you when you were posting videos and things.
I'm glad he's able to have that opportunity. When you're able to go and to be a media member, take full advantage of it, man. And that's exactly what he did.
So I went out there two segments ago, and I was like, Kelly, I'm telling you, your deadline's Wednesday. You got work to do. And without anybody asking or saying, what am I supposed to do? I don't get, what do you want me to do? Do I have to get here earlier? What's the deal?
Trey can go to hell. I walked over there to do something. Yeah. He's doing a podcast with AJ. Apparently, he ranked me 5th out of 7 hosts at this station. That dude can go to hell. He had me above Granado and Raheel. Really? You had me behind Joel? That's terrible. Oh, what a dumbass. You can tell that dude doesn't know what he's talking about.
I got to talk to Trey. It's not. It's totally okay to make Barry 7th.
What a dumbass.
All right, we got one segment to go in the big show, so don't go anywhere. We'll wrap things up, put a bow on it, turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5. Never made it up to Minnesota.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One segment left in the big show as we wrap it up. Turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz before they head on their way to the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Lucky, man.
That is pretty
damn. One day
cool.
I want to be a big guy like them. Big baller status.
Dude, that city is going to be crazy. Oh,
you know, I'm kind of glad.
Good and a bad way.
I was going to say, I almost kind of wouldn't want to go.
I was going to say the same thing, too. But I just wanted to go for like the experience factor. That's going to be a fight that's going down in history. It's going to be remembered forever. But the city is going to be insane.
The amount of talent that's going to be there. Hot chicks. All over the place.
Yeah. Oh, and marquee names. I mean, you see the people that have already bought ringside seats and big time seats. LeBron's flying
I just try
in.
To spot out the Corona chicks. As long as there's Corona chicks, I'm all good.
That's your thing.
The Monster like Energy girls are pretty good, too.
Heineken, whatever.
Yeah. You have someone that wants to speak with you, Barry?
Let's do it.
Kevin is on the phone. He wants to talk to Barry. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, Barry. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Kevin? How's it going?
Well, I was really intrigued that you knew that the sun was finally 3 million miles away from the Earth. I don't know if many young people in the area understand what this area was built on, not just oil. You got the rockets, you got the Astros, Houston, we have a problem. I mean, this whole area was built on that, and I'm wondering how many of the young people know what was going on, and if they know it now, how far the sun is away from the Earth because of today and the eclipse. What do you think about that?
I don't understand the point. Are you saying because NASA? Because we have NASA here?
Well, I'm just saying how many of the younger generation, because I'm a 58-year-old guy.
Okay.
And I grew up on the space program.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was the best thing that ever happened to this town. And then now I'm wondering if they know, well, to quantify what you said, how far is it from here to the moon?
It's like, it's only a couple hundred thousand miles, right? Like 200,000 miles?
Yeah, about a quarter of a million miles okay. at any given moment. But I'm just wondering if anybody else in the area only knows the reason the sun is 93 million miles away from Earth is because of this day, and they wouldn't have known it until today, and they're maybe 17, 18, 25 years old.
I see what you're saying now, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I think you're right that the eclipse does – there's not – let's face it. Science space – isn't as big of a deal as it used to be. In the 60s, space was a big deal. Getting to the moon, the space race, all that was a big deal. But that was a national thing. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people kind of grew up with that. And there was that whole space race and who was going to be first. And that was also part of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, nowadays it's not that big of a deal. Everyone's in space. I mean, hell, you know.
Well, and we're not going back in space. Except for we're not sending any more shuttles or any more. You know,
well, no, the
space station's up there and they're making trips and they're.
But I think there's plans for a trip to Mars. That what they did is they canceled the shuttle program. That doesn't mean that something won't replace that.
I hope it does because that was very disappointing in my mind.
Yeah, I think that though they needed to make a few changes though because. They had issues, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, NASA's not going away. But I think that, I mean, when you look at a lot of the stuff that we have as everyday conveniences, it's come from the space program. Yeah. People just don't realize that. In fact, one of the big things that we use a lot, Velcro, that comes from the space program. So it's relevant. You know what I'm saying? It's still relevant.
Not to change the subject, but sure. Not only did Trey put Joel ahead of you, he put Joel and Fred Fowler ahead of you on his list.
I could see Fred ahead of me. Joel? That just lets me know that my suspicions of Trey's mental capabilities has been proven.
I think the reason why Joel gave him some shoes, he said.
Uh-huh.
And he liked that.
Right. And where did he think he got all of his airtime from for Monday Movie Moments with Trey?
What Trey doesn't like is when people question how smart he is.
Oh, well.
Like, there's a theme, and you just questioned it, so you're probably further down on the list. But John Granato is very last on the list because he always calls Trey a dumbass.
Well, I'm with John
on
this one.
And then Raheel...
Move me down.
Raheel sometimes calls Trey a dumbass.
Okay.
And Trey told me multiple times. I recorded a 15-minute interview with Trey. I don't know
if I heard some of it. My favorite part of the interview... Are you guys going to play it on the Blitz?
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to play it or not.
My favorite part was when you asked him if Barry Warner was eighth because he's an anti-Semite. And to see him go,
I asked him if Raheel was six because he's an Islamophobe. So I guess he denied both those. Yeah. By the way,
make the black guy fifth.
And then I asked him about Jesus, and he was sort of wishy washy on Jesus. And then he was worried his family's going to find out that he's wishy washy on Jesus. So we don't know if it's going to get played.
You guys need to play that. That is pretty
damn good.
Whether it's
played on air or not, you should tweet out how people can get to it.
Just cut out the part where he said I was fifth, because he can go to hell. Dumbass.
Plus, he talked about he talks about a girl, and he doesn't really want it to get out there, and he has regrets about talking about the girl, so I don't know if we're going to run it.
Oh, that's good. That is good
stuff. I
wonder
if it was the same girl he's mentioned to me about.
What?
There's a girl that he...
Let me tell you something.
Vaguely inquired.
I would believe that Trey was in Mensa before I believe Trey has a girl. Okay?
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up, put a bow on it. It's Fred, it's AJ, it's John, it's the Blitz. It's next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.